Here's one of the many pictures you will find on the second coming. This one actually is a composite, and people do these things on a regular basis. Nathan Green has painted some beautiful scenes. Lars Justine and a friend of mine that I went to school with, he's painted some beautiful ones. And Harry Anderson and a lot of other people, it tends to be Adventist artists that paint pictures of the second coming for very obvious reasons, but others do as well. This picture tries to capture that moment when Jesus appears and we all see that he's coming. I think about the second coming on a regular basis. Do you? How many of you think about the second coming on a fairly regular basis? Yeah, a lot of you do. Pretty much every time I see another bad thing happen, where did Glenn go? That terrible tsunami and thing in Indonesia, and then the terrible fires and the loss of life in California and the earthquakes that we've had, and even in Hawaii with the loss of all those homes and hurricanes, and Hurricane Michael recently down in Florida, and all those things that happen. Every time I see those things, I think, oh, we need the Lord to come. And honestly, when you call me up and ask for prayer, or something happens and I visit you or somebody, recently, as I've done the last few months in the hospital, on the way there and while I'm with you, in my heart, I'm thinking, I want the Lord to come. And sometimes I say things that I'm sure at the moment some people might think is kind of weird. But for example, when my father-in-law passed away a few months ago, he dedicated his life to serving God, and he, as a carpenter and as a maintenance person, and he worked at our college, Walla Walla College, for many years in plant services, and he used to talk about how he hoped that his work was helping kids get a good education, and that somehow he hoped that his work contributed to the gospel and that Jesus would come. He really wanted to see Jesus come. He wanted to see that so bad, and I take that all personal. I really want to do my part to help Jesus come back as soon as he can. And so when he passed away, and my mother-in-law was so sorrowful, in a private moment, I said, Mom, I just feel like I want to say to you that I apologize that Jesus didn't come back before now. And I said, I have tried to do the best I knew to do on my part to help finish the work that God gave us. And of course, there's more things to it than that, but that's how I feel. I want to do my part so that Jesus comes back as soon as possible. Does that make sense to you? And I hope that makes sense. But I think about, when I think about this, I think about songs too. I'd like you to grab a hymn book and pull it out there. There's so many good songs in our hymn book about the second coming, hymns-wise. I don't hear too many contemporary songs that talk about the second coming of Jesus. I hear a lot of contemporary music that talks about the love of God and relationships with God and God being with us in our sorrows and difficulties and worship him. Those are all good, and I like all of that music. But it's not too often you hear a contemporary song that talks about the second coming of Jesus. The most recent one that I could think of was Soon and Very Soon. That's can somebody think of one more recent? I can't think of one more recent than that one. What? Sherry? Yeah, that's a good one. Thank you so much. That's one that's I can only imagine. Very good. Which one are you doing, Gary? Oh, the one we just chose? Okay, all right. Oh, very soon I'm going to see the King. Okay, let's sing that one. He and I are just having a little fun together today right now, okay? He's getting back at me, I think. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King. Thank you, Gary. In our hymn book, we have this one here, 441. This song was written by Annie Smith. Now, Annie Smith was the sister of Uriah Smith, who was the author and editor in our church in those early days. Uriah Smith was the editor of the Adventist Review, and he also wrote the book Daniel and Revelation, which was a classic on Bible prophecy for many years. Well, his sister Annie was at times a hymn writer, and she wrote this hymn about the lives of some of the early pioneers. The first verse is about James White and his contribution to the Lord and his work. And then the second verse is about Joseph Bates. And the third verse is about John Andrews, the first Adventist missionary. So those first three verses are about three great Christian men who contributed so much to our work that we're trying to accomplish. Let's just sing the first verse. I saw one weary, sad, and worn. Do you know this one? Do you guys know these hymns? I saw one weary, sad, and torn, with eager steps press on the way, who long the hallowed cross had borne, still looking for the promised day. While many a line of grief and care upon his brow was furrowed there, I asked what buoyed his spirits up. Oh, this said he, the blessed hope. Those were songs that our early Adventist pioneers would sing many times a cappella, because they didn't have people who played instruments. But there's one more. I just think about this one all the time. 448 in our hymn book. Oh, when shall I see Jesus? It's a great song. I like the melody and the harmonies, and it's a very interesting tune, how it all fits together. Oh, when shall I see Jesus and reign with him above, and shall hear the trumpet sound in that morning, and from the flowing fountain drink everlasting love, and shall hear the trumpet sound in that morning. Oh, shout glory, for I shall mount above the skies when I hear the trumpet sound in that morning. It's a great song. Moves right along. It's a little bit higher key than I can sing these days. But it's a great song nonetheless. Thank you, Gary. I appreciate that. He volunteered to help me out this morning. He probably won't again after what I said. But so this morning I would like to tell you what keeps my hope burning. It's been a long time. It's been 174 years since October 22, 1844, when people thought Jesus would return on that very day, if you can imagine. I gave a brief explanation of that a couple of weeks ago, that just imagine all the major airlines today, every single one of them, scheduling special charter planes to carry hundreds and thousands of people to a location, say like Chicago or maybe New York or somewhere like that, because there would be so many Americans who would want to go hear a preacher talk about the second coming of Jesus. That's what was happening in October of 1844. People were flocking in fact, the trains, because that's the fastest means of public conveyance they had. The trains companies could not schedule enough trains to take all the people who wanted to go hear those messages. So great was the interest in the second coming of Jesus. But this verse that Paulo read so well for us, thank you, Paulo, reading and leading this morning, it says there will be signs. Jesus said there will be signs. Now, there's people who like to say, well, you know, I've been hearing this since I was a little kid, and my father and my grandfather. But Jesus said there would be signs. Now, I take what he said seriously. He said there will be indicators. He said, I'm not going to leave you in the blind here. There's going to be indicators that he's coming soon. And every year, when I remember his words and compare Scripture with the events of our world, I see these things happening. And it says people will be terrified because of these things. Jesus said, there's going to be these signs and people will see these things happen. And then he said, people are going to be terrified. And I have to tell you, my neighbor next to me, by the way, that's an answer of prayer. I've been praying for these four Hispanic guys that are living next to me, and they're construction workers, and we've talked periodically. And just a couple of days ago, he came walking over to my property and just started talking. That's the first time they'd done that. That's an answer to prayer. His name is John. And John said, hey, you're a pastor. I said, yeah. And he said, boy, I have some questions. He said, would you be willing to talk with me about my questions? And I said, yeah, if you'll be willing to pull out these two trees I've got right here, I'll be happy to answer your questions. Because I needed help getting these two trees pulled out, and he's got a big old truck. Well, he got all happy about that. And I said, yeah, I'll tell you what, how about Sunday? So be praying for John, if you can remember. Amen. Pray for John on tomorrow, on Sunday, because he's going to come over and yank my two trees out that I've been trying to get out. And then we're going to talk. And I don't know what he's going to ask about, but he told me that he grew up as a Christian, but he left it a long time ago. So I'm hoping to have a good conversation with him tomorrow. But he told me that he's very concerned about the things that he sees happening in the world. And I've met professionals and blue-collar people and all kinds of people in all walks of life. And I have to tell you, these words of Jesus are true. People out here, they may put on a brave front, but underneath it all, they're pretty worried about the stuff that's going on that they see taking place. And they have questions, and they don't always know where to turn. But it says, after these things, then we will see Jesus come. Now, I'm grateful, and I know that some of you have said to me that you haven't seen some of the things that I have seen, and I truly feel sorry that you have not. And I keep praying that God will show you some of the miracles that I have seen. But when, like last year, when I was up in Alberta, and the Lord saw fit to give hearing back to a deaf girl, when she came to our meetings, and we gathered around her, and we placed our hands on her, and prayed for her, and anointed her with oil, that evening at the meeting, she came back and she testified and said, I can hear. She said, I can hear. And people were talking to her and she was talking to them. And when I see things like that, I know that what God's word says is true. I believe his word anyway. But when he gives things like that, when he gives confirmation like that, then it gives me even more faith to believe that what his word says is true. And Jesus said, John, take your Bible and take a look there. Remind yourself. Some of you have it memorized, but open up to John 14 there, verses 1 to 3. And there, when you read that verse, Jesus is giving such encouragement to us. He says, I am going to prepare a place for you. He says, don't be afraid. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what does he say? I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Paulo, isn't that encouraging? You said it was earlier here, and I agree with you. That is so encouraging. Jesus is coming. And these things that we see happening in the world are just so encouraging. I'm kind of reviewing some familiar verses with you right at the moment. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I love this verse. I have quoted this verse at so many funerals over the years. People, you know, our loved ones and friends, they do their best to give us comfort when we lose someone we love. And we appreciate it, don't we? There's nothing like having close friends and family when you're grieving. But as hard as they try, they just can't quite cut through the grief that we feel. But when we focus on Jesus and his word, and we know that his word is true, then we feel some healing coming to us. I'm going to start with verse 13. It says, and now, dear brothers, 1 Thessalonians 4, now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you do not grieve like people who have no hope. See, so many people have no hope. But we have hope because of Jesus. It says, for since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. bring back to heaven. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Amen. So encourage each other with these words. Oh man, I think about my mother, how much she loved the Lord. And I think of that that old spiritual that says, I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger, a traveling through this world of woe. And then it says, it goes on to say, I'm going there to see my mother or my father or the Lord. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm just a going over Jordan. I'm just a going over home. It's a great thought, isn't it? I'm going there to see those people. I have my little niece, Lori, when she died at the age of 7. Going to go there to see her. And of course, we all want to see Jesus. And I think about the logistics. I mean, I'm a guy that thinks about logistics. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? How's that going to happen? You know, and I think about everybody, all the millions of people that all want to see Jesus, like right now. Some of us are going to have to be last. So for your sake, I'll be last in the potluck line again. You know, I'll let you go. I'm used to doing it that way. So I'll let you go and, you know, I'll see you up there, and eventually I'll... Besides, I have too many questions to be the first one anyway. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. Another great classic verse in the Bible about that day. I think about this verse a lot too. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. Amen. And the sea was also gone. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear. I got a phone call this week from somebody that doesn't go to our church. They live quite a long ways away. And they called up yesterday and asked for prayer. And I said to them over the phone, and I've said this to a lot of people, but I said to this person, oh, how I wish I could just snap my fingers and straighten out your problem. Oh, how I wish I could do that. I wish I could bring that son home. I wish I could bring that father back. I wish I could get rid of that disease. And sometimes I've seen God do those things. It's a good thing I don't have all that power, because I'm sure I'd make a lot of mistakes, but I sure feel that way. Oh, how I wish I could just take all the yucky stuff out of everybody's heart. And I love that quote that says, somebody put it on Facebook. I love that quote that says, someday somebody is going to hug you so tight that they're going to squeeze all the bad stuff out. I love that. Isn't that a great idea? You know, someday somebody's going to hug you so tight that they're going to... And of course, that somebody is Jesus. And all the bad. And it says, no more tears. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. So yeah, I look forward to the second coming of Jesus. I really do with all my heart. And when I see multiplicity of natural disasters taking place, I've been keeping track of this for decades. Yes, there is no question about it in my mind. I've checked NOAA. I've checked with the USGS. I checked news sites. I check my facts. And disasters are increasing in number. And even more importantly, they are increasing in severity. For example, in 2017... there were more Category 4 and 5 storms in the world than ever before. These things are continuing to multiply. Now, there is, of course, some wavering back and forth, but the trend is more severe and more frequent disasters. And Jesus said these things are going to happen, and people will be anxious and angry about it. In 2017, there were 49 separate natural disasters in the U.S., costing over $100 million for all those natural disasters. And they verified, several places I read, they verified that the severity of the disaster seems to be increasing. And the underwriters of insurance, like the Rothschilds and other people like that, the underwriters of these insurance companies are starting to put more and more limitations on what you can insure your home for, so that you have to pay a lot more money for insurance than you used to, because they're not paying for as much of it as they used to. So even the underwriters are saying, this is getting out of control, and we're not going to be able to afford to do this. The Red Cross issued a statement just a couple of years ago saying that if the pace and the severity of natural disasters continues as it has, that they're going to run out of the ability to aid everybody. It's just, it's getting out of control, just like Jesus said it would do. So, yeah. And here's a couple, just for, you know, from an Adventist point of view. This comes from the book Great Controversy. It says, Satan will bring disease and disaster until populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation. Well, we're seeing that. Not necessarily in the United States, but we're seeing it in a lot of places around the world. Even now he is at work in accidents and calamities by sea and by land, in great conflagrations, in fierce tornadoes and terrific hailstorms and tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves and earthquakes. In every place and in a thousand forms, Satan is exercising his power. Now this last quote, see, here's a prediction, a prophecy. These, read it with me if you can see it. Can you see it? These visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. And that's what we're seeing. So when I see those things take place like this, I go, yep, there we go. The Lord is coming. Yesterday, my wife got off work early and we went to the mall, something I haven't done in months. Can you believe that, guys, gentlemen? I actually went to a mall. And I was there with my wife looking for some stuff. She was doing some clothes shopping, and I try to have plenty to read while she's doing that. True confession. And but anyway, you know, you come up to a mall, and there's this sign. You know, she wanted to find a couple of particular stores. She looks for a sign, and, you know, here's this map of the mall, and it says, you are here. And then you look through this whole bunch of list of stuff to find where you want to go. And, oh, you want to go there? We're here. Okay, that's the way you go to get there, right? So Jesus is giving us all these signs. And it's like he's saying, you are here. And the second coming is here. Well, you know, a long time ago, you are here. And the second coming is over here. But now it's like, you are here. And the second coming is here. We can see that the distance between where we are now and when he comes is much shorter than it used to be. She says, last Friday morning, just before I awoke, back in, you know, her days there, late 1800s, she said, a very impressive scene was presented before me. Now, you've been hearing me say that one of these days, I don't know when, but soon, one of these days, there's going to be a natural disaster that isn't natural. It's going to be supernatural. It's going to be something that cannot be explained by physics. And that's going to really terrify people. She says, from the windows I could behold a terrible conflagration. Great balls of fire were falling upon houses, and from these balls, fiery arrows were flying in every direction. It was impossible to check the fires that were kindled, and many places were being destroyed. The terror of the people was indescribable. And she's saying, if you go on to read the whole thing, she's talking about widespread destruction, not some local thing like a volcano. She's talking about out of a clear sky, balls of fire just appearing and falling and hitting homes and completely destroying them. That's going to terrify people. And when that begins to happen, then the conditions will be right for the beast power of Revelation 13 to assert himself and say, I've got the solution. I know what to do. We need to please God, and we need to please God this way. And there will be a very narrow description of what you have to do to please this God, which will include some of the things that we as Adventists have been preaching about for years, including disregarding of the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments. So these things show me that Jesus is coming soon. The things in the natural world. And now, things in our country, because the United States is the second beast of Revelation 13. And we're going to look at this in more detail next week, next Sabbath. But the United States is the second beast of Revelation 13. And yes, that's a warning, by the way. We're going to talk about the mark of the beast next Sabbath, okay? So please be aware of that, because that's what we're going to talk about and study about. I've tried to promise you that I will always let you know before I present a topic that could be discomforting or uncomfortable to you or to others. And I want you to know that next Sabbath we're going to talk about the mark of the beast. So if you take a look at the political things going on in our country right now, I've been thinking a lot about how to say this short, and I'm going to do it this way. I have never seen so much disrespect, ill will, outright hatred, so much jealousy and criticism as I've seen in the last 15 years. It says that the lamb-like beast would begin to speak like a dragon. Who's the dragon, everybody? Who's the dragon? Satan. Begin to look like, sound like, and all of this vitriol that we're seeing in the public newspapers, magazines, media, electronic, Twitter, all that stuff, it sounds like the dragon to me. Not only the words, but the way in which these things are being said. I've never been so embarrassed to be an American as I am today. I have people that I know from other countries. Sometimes they bring it up. They say, how do you feel about all this stuff going on? I say, I'm embarrassed as an American that my leaders would behave this way. I'm embarrassed. And it's not party specific. It's widespread across both parties. It's not, you can't say, well, I'm sure glad I'm a Democrat. No, you can't say, well, I'm sure glad I'm a Republican. You can't do that as a Christian. Because it's a mess. It's horrible. It's awful. It's disgusting. I get very unhappy when I see my elected officials behaving in the way that they are. But the Bible said that there would be perplexity. They wouldn't know what to do. They would begin to speak like a dragon. And it said they would become boasters and proud, unthankful, blasphemers, unholy. And that's exactly what we're seeing. And these scriptures that I've given here, Luke 21, Revelation 13, 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, these are talking about the end times, the last days before Jesus comes. These are not pulled out of context. They're talking about what the world is going to be like just before Jesus comes. So when I see these things happening in the political world, I know that the Lord is coming soon. Donald Trump, not to pick on him, he's just the most recent one, okay, so I'm not singling him out. But he said, I was watching an interview with him, pre-election interview, and he said this, I wrote it down. He said, if I am elected, the Catholic Church will love me. He said, I intend to restore power back to the church. These, as people who study prophecy, these statements should be alarming, because we know that this is exactly what Revelation 13 predicts. And we have seen efforts made in that direction. And it says eventually in this country and around the world, no one will be able to buy or sell anything without that mark of the beast that we're going to talk about next Sabbath, which was either the name of the beast or the number representing his name. Sanctions is what that's talking about, placing sanctions on people who don't comply. If you don't comply, then we're going to place sanctions on you. And if you're big enough and strong enough and you can wield a big enough stick, you can try to force people, even in other countries, to do what you want to do. And the United States has been exercising that muscle, much to my embarrassment, around the world at times in ways that I don't conscientiously believe in, and neither do you, I'm sure, as a Christian. The love of many will grow cold, violence will increase. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when Jesus comes. This is another reason I think Jesus is coming soon. I was speaking to my wife yesterday, and I said, could you ever have imagined when we were young people in high school that people would consider a school a place to kill everybody? Or that they would go into hospitals and do that? Or that policemen would be targeted for assassination? Or that churches would be places people would go to kill and destroy. And she said, absolutely not. I could never have possibly imagined that. So just in my lifetime, when I consider the increase, the proliferation of violence in our society, it leaves me speechless. Jesus said violence would increase. It says wickedness will get worse, Paul wrote to Timothy. And it says it will be just like it was in the days of Noah. And how was it in the days of Noah? You go back to Genesis 6 and it says the thoughts of men's heart was only what? Evil. How much? Continually. And that's exactly what we're seeing repeated in our society today. So Jesus says, listen up. All these things are going to happen. This is a translation that I like. He says, listen up. I will be with you constantly until the very end. We can't control all these things that go on in the world. But Jesus said, he said there in Matthew 24, he said, do not let your heart be troubled. He also said that in John 14. Do not let your heart be troubled. He said, I will be with you every step of the way. Now, my wife and I have this constant discussion about whether we want to live to see Jesus come or not. I do. She doesn't. Okay, so we're going to have a vote. How many of you are willing to go through the time of trouble and see Jesus come? May I see your hands? Raise them up with me. All right. How many of you are going, I'm married to that person, but I don't want to do that? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, my wife says, she will say, I want to die before that happens. I don't want to go through that. It's too scary, you know. But I'm more like a roller coaster person. Show me that roller coaster and I'll get in line because I think this will be, you know, fun to get to see all that happen. I want to see the things happen. I really do. I would like to see all of that Jesus prophesied take place. And I want, as I have said before, I want to be standing, not laying in a cemetery, but I would like to be standing near a cemetery when Jesus says, arise, arise, you who sleep in the dust. Wouldn't you like to see that? Boom, you know, the graves pop open, you know. And I still think they're going to shoot out of the graves. Like the 4th of July. I think that would be so awesome to see that happen. I can't imagine them oozing out of the grave, you know. I just can't even picture that. But I think they're going to shoot. And that's going to be so exciting. Don't you agree with me that will be exciting to see that day come when the people who have loved and trusted the Lord come out. But in the meantime, in our schools, in our churches, in our homes, Jesus will be with us every step of the way. And I look forward to the day. I will be speechless. I will absolutely be speechless. I know it. But I look forward to the day when I will be able to see him face to face. And somehow, I hope I'll be able to say something sensible to express my love and my devotion to him. He is my Savior. He has forgiven my sins. He has saved me. He has changed my life. He has given me the courage I've needed for every single day of my life. He's given me answers. He's given me resources. He's given me hope. He's given me friendship. Many times he is the only person I have ever been able to talk to. He knows the secrets, and yet he is my friend. He has shown his appreciation and his companionship to me in a thousand ways. And I'm sure I'm going to spend the rest of eternity trying to figure out how to say it better. But for just right now, with my poor American English tongue, I just want to say to you, Jesus, you're awesome. You're amazing. You're indescribable. And someday, when he comes so very soon, and this world is finally put to rest, a peace will settle into our hearts that we have never felt before because this world has never let us feel it. But someday, on the other side, we will be at peace and the world will be at peace. And the heart of God will be in unity once again with all of the creation. There will be no more sin, no more Satan, no more ugliness, no more brokenness. I'm pretty sure you must feel like me, that you want to be a part of that, don't you? Let's stand for prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long, till we hear the glad song. Christ returneth. Hallelujah. We long for that day, Lord, we do. We don't want our children to be hurt like we have been. We don't want our grandchildren to be hurt. We don't want them to be disappointed, tempted and tried as we have been. We want to shield our loved ones from all the pain and ugliness of this world. Oh, how we wish you would come right away, very soon, and bring the healing of your spirit and put this earth to rest and cause wickedness to cease. No more lies, no more deceit, no more misunderstandings, no more angriness, no more terrorism, no more destruction. Please come soon, Jesus, and usher in beauty and love and decency and dignity. Please, Lord, bring those things back to us that we had once long ago. Restore this world as you promised to do. Create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness and the kingdom of God in all its fullness. Please may that day be soon. Perhaps you would like to say a prayer. I'm going to say this prayer. Maybe you would like to say this prayer with me in your heart. I don't expect you to repeat it out loud, but perhaps in your heart you would like to say this prayer. This is my prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for the gift of eternal life and that I can look forward to the second coming with joy and not fear, because I know that you are my Savior. Thank you for the promise of seeing my mother and my niece and my brother and my sister, and my father, and so many of my loved ones who have passed away. Thank you, Lord, that I will be able to see my children and my grandchildren on that day and to be able to watch them continue to grow and develop in a pure place, a safe place. Thank you, Lord, for these, my precious friends in the faith who are here today. Please bless them and bless those who could not be here today, that they also will be saved and that we may all enjoy heaven together. I ask you to forgive every person here today for whatever their mistakes have been, and that they will all know how much you love them and that they will accept you as their Savior. Please come into their hearts. Give them the help that they need, the direction that they need. And show us, Lord, as a church, as a collective body, how we can do a better job of giving the message to our community so that as many people in this community as possible will know the salvation of Jesus and be saved. So, Lord, today we all want to say to you, come soon, Lord Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, and I forgot to say, it's good to see all those bow ties out there today. Jordan and I got together, and we said, we saw all these young guys wearing all these cool bow ties, and we said, hey, we want some fun too. So we decided to designate today Bow Tie Sabbath. Thank you for your cooperation.